This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
We're ready for rivalry basketball. The 12th-ranked Fighting Illini of Illinois are in town to take on the Northwestern Wildcats. But another Illinois turnover, long pass ahead to Berry. Berry in traffic, pinned by Nosuba. That's a goaltend. And Northwestern's lead is 41-27. And another turnover. That's number 11. Man, and what a first half for Northwestern.
Yeah, they had us the first half, I'm not going to lie.
Frazier's three is good, and Illinois will go the other way.
And the Illini, in the last two games they've played, they've gone on big runs. If you're Northwestern, you can't allow the Illini to go on a run.
Coburn with the offensive rebound, the putback, and maybe a three-point play the old-fashioned way. And it's taken away again. Northwestern coughs it up, their ninth turnover. Trailing three, up and down. Illinois looking for their first lead since 13-12 in the first half. They'll look for Coburn, and he'll provide it. Frazier, deep two, no. Coburn, offensive board, pulling his way to the rim, bucket and a foul. Baseline drive, the dish into the corner, the three is good. An 8-point lead for Illinois at the end of that 17-0 run. Williams in the corner, the three is good. Trying to answer, Bowie's three short. Who saw this coming? Dosumu on the drive, he'll get to the rim. Miller.
8-7 in the second half. That is a heck of a performance. I don't think I've ever seen anything that lopsided, Kevin. And it'll go the other way.
This one was a 15-point deficit at halftime. Curbelo with the steal and the two in the backcourt. Miller grabs the loose ball. Illinois will dribble this one out. And the Illini outscore Northwestern by 40 points in the second half to win it 81-56. And the Illini found their stride in the locker room at halftime, and they took care of Northwestern in the second half.
Highlights courtesy of the Big Ten Network. Most of you watched the second half comeback from your Fighting Illini. It is The Drive. ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well. So is Hans D. Hans was in the weight room today. That's as far as I'll go with that. He was in the weight room. Derek Piper, have you had any sleep since the victory last night? Illinois gets it done 81-56.
I've had some. I woke up 2:45 in the afternoon. And,
oh, my.
Got a shower in, and I'm here.
You don't, like, I'm not saying you look bad, because you don't look bad.
No, that's okay.
You have the sleepy look, right? Like, you woke up, you know, and took a shower, and, like, that's the hot shower where you're like, all right, give me a little energy.
The coffee's here. I'll eat lunch after the show.
I was like, somebody bring a dew to Derek Piper. Well, I'm going to say one stat from last night, and then I'll let you wax poetic on what you watched, because what we watched last night is unprecedented. That is something that you do not see at a college level. A team absolutely dominate. We use that word or that term probably too much. Last night was total domination in the second half by Illinois. But I'm going to read you two things, Derek. Two things. Are you ready? 14 minutes, 19 seconds, 7 minutes, 32 seconds.
Okay.
Those are the only two buckets Northwestern scored in the second half.
Ugh.
In the second half!
Yeah.
Two buckets, 14 minutes, 19 seconds. Barron, I think, hit a three. And then at 7 minutes, 32 seconds, they ran almost like a little backdoor alley-oop that the kid laid it in. That's it! This is like, I remember coaching Andrew in first and second grade in Homer, Illinois, and you would have a game that would finish 4-2. And I would always laugh, like, how many times do you see two buckets in one half? You saw it last night in a college basketball game. Derek, that does not happen. That was pure dominance.
Couldn't believe what I saw. Have never seen it to that extent as far as a 40-point differential when you're down 15 at half. And there was someone ran the stat, I think, in the last 25 years, 20 to 25 years in college basketball, it's never happened where a team is down 15 and then ends up winning by 25 plus.
I could believe it.
It was unbelievable to watch. The first half was Illinois was bad.
Yes.
Down the stretch, and Brad Underwood was absolutely losing his mind.
Yes, he was.
As much as he has this season, as much as he has in a long time, there was the under four timeout where he's just sitting, like the managers are pulling the chairs around and getting everybody there. Underwood just stays in his right leg over the left, sitting back, and he's just sitting there.
Silence is golden.
Motionless. Now he ends up firing in there. He slams the dry erase board, and Georgie travels on the next possession. He calls a timeout, and then he erupts even more. But yeah, we all wondered about trash can punches and whatever was going to go on in the locker room. It sounds like the players really took ownership, and they were the ones that were doing most of the talking in there, which is good to see. And we saw what this team's high gear is. When they're locked in at both ends of the floor, when they're moving the ball and able to have guys like Trent Frazier and Adam Miller knock down shots, it was really cool to hear the boom on every three.
Yeah.
And that was something that was prevalent in the NBA bubble. And it just showed just how locked in Illinois was. So it was dominant. They broke Northwestern. Now, Northwestern, you look at 2 for 24 and you say, what a great defensive effort. And Illinois was good defensively. Northwestern was just brutal. Like, they missed some good shots. They turned it over. They just were completely demoralized. And to do that to a team that's pretty solid. I mean,
3-3 in this pretty good Big Ten.
Yeah, they're a mid-tier team in the Big Ten. They had beaten Michigan State and Ohio State on their home floor. That was really, really impressive.
You asked the best question of the night on the post game.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, well, you always do, to be honest with you. But you asked the question to Brad of not what did you say at halftime, but essentially what did some of the players say? Now, he did. His response wasn't the best of all time because he wasn't there, right? I mean, he said he got there late, but you know, Derek, that inside that locker room, everybody was probably speaking before Brad even got in there. Those players, and you'll hear from Brad here in a minute talking about this, that the responsibility, those guys take the responsibility. And maybe when he said, like when I first started with this program, I would have had to be the one getting these kids fired up. You know that the first 5 minutes, I don't know how long Brad was not in there. Let's say 5 minutes. The first five, I guarantee you that was a vocal locker room between a lot of those Illini players.
It was, yeah. And that shows leadership. It shows the team chemistry, the veterans on the team that are really, you know, taking it personally to go out there and to look like that and to know that's not what they're about. That's not the level that they want to play at. And really, you lose that game. Iowa takes care of business and just thrashes Maryland on the road.
Right.
Wisconsin gets it done against Indiana. You see what Michigan's doing at the top of the league, haven't lost. You want to chase the Big Ten title, you got to go win a game like that against Northwestern.
You know one thing I thought last night, and I try not to get ahead of myself with all this hoping that this is a special season. I think that's great that we all hope that it's a special season. I think this team has the ability to make it a special season. It seems like sometimes when I look back at 1989 and even more so in 2005, there's certain times where you say, you know what, that's a game I'm going to remember. Now, that's a dumb statement in the sense of this. Everybody's going to remember that game at Northwestern because, like you said, it's the only time in the last 25 years, this is what Trevor put down, as you just said, last 25 years, a team trailed by 15-plus at half and won by 20-plus. 25 years, first time that's been done. But that is one of those things. It seems like if you're going to have, or when you have, not if, when you have a special season, it seems like there's little things along the way that you could put an asterisk by almost to say, ah, that's what told you this was going to be a special season. I feel like last night could have been one of those.
That's a great point. It's the contrast of Trevor goes, you know, the Purdue win. It was ugly. No one's going to remember that game.
Right.
Other than the
good
fact
call.
You won the game, looking back at the end of the year, you may not even remember what happened in that game. The fact that Purdue goes on a 19-0 run and, you know, you end up finishing it off. This is one that you'll definitely remember. This is one that you were able to showcase yourself. Now, you're not going to want to totally forget the first half. And Brad,
amen.
I like some of his answers on that. We'll probably hear from him later on in the show. But you can't finish a half 12, you know, on the wrong side of a 12-1 run. You've had some stretches here where just teams have gone on runs against you. And that's something to fix because down 15 to Iowa at halftime.
Ooh.
That's going to be really hard to come back from.
You can't count
Wisconsin.
On that.
Yeah, I mean, that's it is hard to count on. But what I loved in the second half was just, it was one of those collective, every guy had a flash moment.
Good call.
Now, it was fun to watch Missouri. I know you ended up losing that game, but Iowa just go bonkers against Missouri, or Kofi against Minnesota just tearing Liam Robbins apart. But when first play of the half, Demonte takes a charge, then Trent hits a three, then Kofi gets an and one, then Iowa gets a runner, and Jacob Granderson has a steal. He
huge
hits a three.
Plays.
Miller's starting to get going. You started to see that the whole collective piece come together, and that was what's really exciting, and that's what shows you what the team can be when all those pieces start to click, because there's a lot of talent on this team, and if they have it going on one particular night, it's in a rare level of college basketball what this team's ceiling is.
We talk about micro and macro, and it was funny. Last night in that second half, Jacob Granderson had a big offensive rebound. Kick out led to a three-pointer, I think, by Trent. Then he comes down, steals the ball on an inbounds pass where he had great position. I mean, the steal itself wasn't spectacular, but it was because it was made because he had great defensive positioning. And then on the other end, he just comes down with confidence, in rhythm, and just nails a three. All of that happens, and I felt great for Jacob Granderson. But you look at the bench, and there was one kid in particular. Adam Miller went nuts when Jacob Granderson hit that three. And that told me, this team, not that I ever believed that they weren't all in unity, but to see that from, you know, like an Adam Miller who is a starter and is just getting a blow basically on the bench, and for Granderson to do that, and I think, I'm not speaking for Adam, but I feel like that excitement was a combination of what Jacob Granderson had just done on two or three trips down the court, where he gets a big rebound that leads to points, then he gets the steal down here, then he comes down and nails a three, and the bench goes crazy. That's fun to see.
It was. I mean, they were having a heck of a time there in the second half. It was fun to watch the bench and the managers even involved just going crazy, and just every reaction to the positive plays and Illinois was just going out there and playing ball and having fun. And that was really, really good to see. And you need to be able to bring that energy in an arena with no fans.
Yeah.
And you assume that that's going to continue throughout, maybe even the rest of your way, you know, whenever it ends in March or early April, if we want to talk about that.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And another thing that I loved and that you really take away from it is that team was hungry. They were not satisfied with any kind of a lead at any point in that second half. They were up 20, slapping the floor on defense. The bench was chanting defense. You're up 21 with a minute to go. Curbelo does that steal where he hides out by the bench and comes up behind. I mean, that's just...
That may have been a little bush league with that big of a lead, but I loved it. You know what I did? I paused it, rewound it, and told Andrew, I'm like, you need to watch this. And every guard in this area needs to watch that and realize that can happen in a basketball game. And that could happen in a really close game. I loved it.
Yeah, you love that. I still liked it.
Yeah, well, I'm kidding when I say Bushel. Yeah.
No, other fans are going to look at that and it's like, oh, okay.
You're up 20 and here you're doing.
But it was making a statement. Maybe it was just more of keeping the foot on the gas pedal where they were struggling with that in the first half. And why not just go out there and just play till the final buzzer? And, yeah, that was just kind of a statement to other teams that, hey, when we get it going, we're just going to impose our will on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was impressive.
Here's my question after we hear from Brad. I'm going to ask Derek Piper, if you had to write a paper tomorrow on what exactly made that flip and what happened in a game that you look so kind of in the first half. At the end of the first half, I tweeted out, yuck. I mean, that's kind of how I felt. I wasn't upset. I was just, yuck, man. That's just not a good performance. So I want to ask Derek Piper if he can nail it down. I don't know that you can, but maybe you can nail it down. Here's Brad about halftime.
I wasn't in here for a while. They were all getting after each other pretty good, and they were all chiming. And they were embarrassed, Derek. And I mean, and I don't want to say embarrassed. That's not the right. They're disappointed. And they knew that that wasn't them. And that is nice. That's the leadership that you want as a coach, that you don't have to go do that. You know, at one point in my career, this program, you know, I had to provide all that, and it was emotional, and it was getting on them and understanding, and now they handle it. So it's pretty, keeps my blood pressure down.
Amen. And Illinois jumps out to a 13-2 run in the second half. They get a lead. And again, I'll give my stat one more time. 14 minutes and 19 seconds, 7 minutes, 32 seconds. Those are the only two times that Northwestern actually scored a basket in the second half, which is unheard of. I had to go back and watch it again to believe it. So what do you think happened?
I think, yeah, it's hard to boil it down to one very thing.
Defensive end, right?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, right away, the first play of the second half is Damonte Williams taking a charge.
Good call.
And you come down, again, it was just kind of a sequence of stop, score, stop, score. It was an 8-0 run in 96 seconds. And I wrote down some of the runs in the second half. 8-0, 17-0, 8-0, 7-0, 6-0.
Wow.
It was impressive.
Basketball is a game of runs.
Right.
We talk about that all the time. But normally when you're going through those runs you just talked about, like two of them would be Illinois, one would be Northwestern, two of them would, those are all Illinois.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what was different.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because we look at, 19-0 for Purdue. Yeah. It's a little much.
Yeah, 12-1 agree.
12-1 for Northwestern. That's going to happen, especially when you're playing a decent team. They're going to go on a run, and then you're supposed to come back. What happened, I think that it was really Underwood probably flipped the switch, or he set up his team to have that kind of response, just what he did in those huddles on the bench at the end of the first half.
I agree.
I mean, he was staring into Kofi Coburn's soul on the bench. Kofi was seated behind him, and he would just every once in a while look back at him, pull his mask down.
Oh, boy.
And if he was saying, he would get some words in, and then he would just glare.
Oh,
and you figured that if the team had any heart at all, that they were going to come back in that second half and be inspired. I'll take Underwood's word for it, and also Kofi. We talked to him about it. Just the conversations in the locker room of that team to be able to figure it out and fix it. I'd say that is where it really flipped the switch. But it is kind of funny. I asked Kofi what Underwood was like in the locker room, and he might have remembered it a little bit different. He's like, he went wild on us, man. And there's a text that we got from Louis from St. Louis who showed it's a picture from a former manager who tweeted out a broken dryer erase board.
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't know if that's from last night. I was wondering myself.
Okay.
I don't know. Interesting.
Here's Kofi.
He got wild on us, man. You know, he roughed us up a little bit, told us that we were slacking, you know, we weren't playing with the right energy and the right connection. And he just got on us, he told us that we're a capable team, we're capable of going out there, you know, turning around, and that's what we did, you know. Told us how to win, he told us to go out there and play defense, do what we do. You know, we've been doing a tremendous job lately of just locking in on defense and knowing personnel and stuff like that. I was kind of playing with low energy in the first half. Wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, what the team needed me to do. And, you know, he just got on me about, you know, being a better leader, you know, coming out there and playing with energy that the guys could feed off of. And just playing, having a big presence on the defensive end, because that's what we do. You know, we play really good defense when we talk. And when I'm good, everybody's good. So he just told me that at half, like, you know, he got on me a little bit. You know, got on me, started yelling at me. He knows I like that, though, so. We're not shooting that well. We got guys, you know, we shoot like 13% from three in the first half or whatever we shot, you know, and we gotta pick it up on the defensive end, because if the shots not falling, you know, that's not gonna be for 40 minutes. You have really good players on the team. So like if shots come falling for the first half, we have to pick it up on the defensive end and make sure that we hold them to a low amount of points so we can keep ourselves in the game.
I also asked Derek Piper what exactly happened. Well, here's what Brad thought happened.
Well, I've been doing this a long time I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like that game. I will say this, the first half, at halftime, I didn't say a lot. I was more disappointed in the way that we chose to perform, and we chose to perform poorly, very sloppy. And with very, very little energy. I think that is where this program has gotten to, in that these guys were mad at half. They were upset at themselves. They were really disappointed. And to come out in the second half, hold the team to 8% and two field goals, I've not been a part of that.
It was weird. I haven't seen something like that. I'm sure that's happened at some level. Obviously, it's happened before. But in a Big Ten conference, against a decent team, I'm not saying, I know Northwestern got out to a 3-0 start and we're like, whoa. Obviously, they've kind of come back to the pack a little bit at 3-3. And as you said, they've played three really hard opponents in a row. They're ready to kind of get a gimme in there if they can, but I'm not sure there's many gimmies in the Big Ten. But to do that against a quality opponent on their floor, that's impressive.
Right, and you look back their previous two games, they lost by 19 to Michigan, lost by 15 to Iowa. So, again, you're in that top-tier group. You're supposed to handle your business against them. Now, that would handling your business – maybe don't attach beating them by 40 in the second half. You get 53 points. You're on pace to, if you do that over a course of 40 minutes, not. Could Illinois do that again?
Right.
Could Northwestern go 2 for 22 again? I don't know, but that's 106 points you're on pace for with that offensive production. So
that's an 89 team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Flying Illini.
But I liked the fact of what Kofi said that, you know, he likes to be pushed like that. And yes. That's a credit to Brad for recruiting the right type of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And to really, when you establish your culture, you got to have guys that respond well to what you bring as a coach. And Kofi really hit on in the recruiting process, one, I want to be pushed. Two, I want to compete for a national title. Now, when Illinois loses to Florida Atlantic on his official visit, you're probably like, okay, you're going to be pushed. I don't know if you're competing for a national title.
Nice.
Now those really come together. Illinois, like you said, top 15, probably going to be a top 10 if you handle your business against Maryland. But, yeah, he responds well to that. I think a lot of players on this roster do, and you saw what they responded to when Brad was losing his mind in the first half, and that's what you get.
I skip it around here a little bit, but we talked about Brad got in late, according to him, into halftime and felt like the vocal was already going on between the teammates. Kofi said this.
It's a lot of trust in our locker room, you know, like everybody trusts each other, everybody loves each other, so. You know, we take negative criticism or whatever, positive criticism, and, you know, we basically listen to each other. Ayo came to me, told me to step it up, you know. Georgie came to me, told me I got to step it up. We tell each other, and we trust each other, and we love each other. So we don't take it the wrong way. We listen, you know. We go out and we do it for our teammates. You know, we do it for the guy beside us.
It's amazing. Illinois wins 81-56. They outscore Northwestern 53-13. And Tim Sinclair, our buddy, had tweeted out, and I didn't even think about it at the time, that if Illinois would not have scored a point in the first half, they would have only lost the game by three. It was a great, tweet when you think about it because, again, you outscore Northwestern 53-13. Northwestern actually put the ball through the bucket twice in the second half, not counting free throws. They only had two field goals in 20 minutes of college basketball. That's crazy. Now,
it was a good response because they were getting a lot of good looks in the first half.
Yes, they were.
And Kofi did a much better job of defending Nance or whoever he was on the perimeter, not allowing too much there. I talked yesterday. We talked about limiting Boo Booey. He was scoreless. He went 0 for 6.
Mm-hmm.
He was battling foul trouble. But, yeah, another stat. Kofi had 13 points and 11 rebounds in the second half. Northwestern had 13 points and 12 rebounds in the second half.
Oh, my goodness. I know Trevor wrote down Illini, they're on a five-game win streak, but every Illini starter made as many or more shots than Northwestern did as a team in the second half. Now, one thing I will say, the floor slap by Io, the synchronized floor slap, if that was Duke, we'd all be puking into a garbage can, right? I mean, we see that, and we're like, ugh. But when it's your team, you're like, oh, you're right. Yeah.
You're right. That's a good point. If Duke was on the road at Boston College, up 20, and they're slapping the floor, you're like, these guys.
Oh, boy.
So Duke.
These guys. Well, Brad Underwood talked about not only that, but also, you know, just keeping with it until the final horn.
There's no quit in us, and you know, it was good tonight, and now we got to go do it again on Sunday. And when this team plays hard and this team plays connected and with great energy, you know, we can be that type of team at both ends of the court.
There you go, Brad Underwood. And, you know, the other thing, Derek, that I think is important to point out, and going into that game and kind of getting the idea that Northwestern's going to come out in a zone. And we've seen, and it's not just an Illinois thing, it's because we focus on Illinois, not you and I, but all of the fans. We focus on our team. So when we don't sense that we're doing well against a zone, then we immediately think, oh boy, we're not a very good team against a zone. But Northwestern comes out in that zone in the first half, and Illinois struggled. And they've got, they're long. I mean, they've got, you know, guys that are tall, and they can stretch you a little bit. So I started to worry, and at halftime I made the comment to Andrew, I'm like, the problem here is that other teams are going to see this, and then that is going to be maybe a game plan that they throw in against an Illinois team. And what I mean by that is sometimes a zone is used by inferior teams that understand they can't maybe compete athletically with the other team they're playing. So the one chance you can do is kind of pack it in, even though Northwestern wasn't packing it in, but essentially stop the athleticism and make them make shots. So I thought in the second half when Illinois came out and did what they did, which is, again, something I'm still speechless about what I saw in the second half. Maybe that also gets the thought out there to coaches going, well, hold on a second. Maybe we shouldn't do that zone thing against Illinois, because that was impressive.
Yeah, when Illinois is moving the ball well and being able to, you know, skip it around, move the defense, and not be as – there was a lot of talk. I went back and watched some of the broadcasts about the ball fakes.
Yes.
And you can't just see a pass, throw it. I mean, they're going to react to that. And like you said, I mean, Kopp is their three men. He's 6'7", Barron 6'9", and Nance is 6'10", and they play all those guys together. It allows Northwestern then to guard the paint better. They don't have a one-on-one matchup for Kofi, and very few teams do. But you have seen, whether it was Indiana and Purdue or Northwestern, kind of some of the same game plans or schemes for an Illinois team, despite the fact that this is a team on the season that shot the three really well.
Right.
It's like, okay, we're going to cheat inside. We're going to leave the corner open. We're going to dare them to shoot that. Northwestern's like, okay, zone, settle for outside jumpers. And Illinois was taking long threes in the first half. Trent was missing them. Adam was missing them.
Yeah, they were.
And now they really got it going there in the second half. Illinois is going to see more zone.
Sure.
It is going to happen for sure. And you're still going to have to address that and shoot more consistently from guys like Trent and from Adam, who, I mean, they're really good shooters. But, yeah, and it was one quick thing before we take a break. It was kind of interesting. Northwestern had a lot of success in that zone, and Collins went back to man.
Yeah.
Right away for that first stretch where you go 8-0, and that was against man. Then he goes, all right, I'm going to go zone now.
Yes. And by then, Illinois felt good.
Yeah. And it's probably because in the locker room, he figures, okay, yep, they're going to be talking the entire halftime. Here's how you figure out the zone. All right, we're back in man. But
some gamesmanship.
Didn't work.
No, it did not work. Let's do take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about one thing I really was focused in on last night and enjoyed watching was Kofi and Georgie playing defense, not only on the perimeter, and also, though, getting out and getting hands up, and then not fouling on drives to the basket by Northwestern, where they would go straight up, keep hands up. And that in the second half made a big difference, because Northwestern, I know Nance a couple of times, had to fling the ball up. They were missing layups where they weren't even hitting the rim because Kofi's arms are up. I thought Georgie did a good job of letting guys through, defend the passing lane, get right back to his guy. I think he does a really good job at that underneath. And that takes a lot of work by a big guy to do all that, where you're spotting this throw or this pass to a cutter, but then jumping right back on your guy. I thought Illinois did a really good job with that underneath. All right, we'll get back to some more of Illinois basketball. We'll talk a little bit more about the defense. I do want to mention that Ryan Walters, the new defensive coordinator at Illinois for Brett Bielema, he was able to speak to the media today. We're going to hear from him before we get out of here. Some sound bites from today's presser with him. Next hour, we've got a next question, NFL Wild Card Weekend Edition. If there's one thing Derek Piper and I enjoy talking about, it's the NFL. So
yeah,
at
buddy.
5:05, Trevor put together a next question Wild Card Weekend Edition. Is there anything better? And it's like Christmas this year. You get two extra games each day. Three games Saturday, three games Sunday, including the Bears playing this weekend, which is awesome. I know even for Bears fans, you've got that look on your face, but you know you're going to be fired up when that game kicks off. And then, of course, at 5:30, it'll be the award-winning Who You Got with Hans D, NFL and Illini edition. Hans D, as mentioned at the start of the show, was in the weight room today, so I assume he's going to bring it big when it comes to Who You Got at 5:30. If you want to continue to weigh in, you can, 359-2255. That's the College of Aces text line, 359-2255. That's the understood 217 area code. You can also use that number to call us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. We're more than welcome. You're more than welcome, excuse me, to call. We'll take your call there at 359-2255. Search us on Twitter, at The Drive 93.5. Find me on Twitter, at Lonte ESPN. See you!
I'm at dpiper247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyjay.com. Or you can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
It is The Drive.
If you're looking for a car dealership that is 100% attentive to detail, look no further than Sarah Champagne. Sarah Champagne knows you have high expectations, but they enjoy the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. Sarah Honda, Sarah BMW, Sarah GMC, Sarah Buick, and Sarah Subaru in Savoy, or online, Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Butch here with ServPro. Getting back to business means giving customers the confidence to walk through your doors. At ServPro of Champaign-Urbana, we're doing just that with certified ServPro Clean. Our proactive cleaning programs help reduce the spread of viral pathogens, adheres to CDC standards, and uses EPA-approved disinfectants. For a free quote, call ServPro of Champaign-Urbana at 355-0077. The company you've trusted for 30 years with fire and water cleanup can help you with COVID concerns. Franchises are independently owned and operated. Go to ServProofChampaignUrbana.com. For more information.
Game Day Spirits year-end clearance sale is now live and full of great deals for Illini Nation. Shop in either of their stores and take an additional 20% off of existing clearance items, or visit them online at gamedayspirit.com/sale to save 30% on great pieces from brands like Nike, Columbia, Champion, and more. Game Day Spirit is located at the corner of 6th and Green in Campustown, Neil and Kirby in Champaign, and is open online 24/7 at gamedayspirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where a Illini fans shop.
Jay Layman here. Does your winter laundry stack keep getting bigger and bigger? Coats, gloves, stocking caps, mittens, they all need washed and sanitized. Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World has you covered with laundry pairs on sale and in stock. GE, Electrolux, and Frigidaire laundry sets have sanitized cycles and a steam setting to help you keep your family bacteria free. And don't forget, they're free. 10-year warranty. Located off I-74 on Neal Street in Champaign.
When you're buying a battery, it's important to look beyond just the price and make sure you're buying a quality battery. So when you're buying one from the big box store, make sure you ask the question, what's the date on this battery? Is it dependable? Sometimes the big box stores have batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for years. Or you can just come to Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable, and buy your battery from the people who only do batteries. Interstate Batteries at 2504 North Madison, Champaign. Way out there, but totally worth the drive. How much is dependable worth to you? Interstate Batteries open 6 days a week.
While this COVID crisis may have turned your world upside down, imagine what our friends on the street have had to deal with over these past few months. Rob Dahlhaus here, Executive Director at See You at Home. Over these past couple months, I've heard these words from our friends on the street. How am I supposed to shelter in place when I have no place to shelter? We were able to keep the men's and women's emergency shelters open. For the first time in nearly 20 years, our community has year-round shelter once again. If you'd like to get more involved, please mark your calendars for One Winter Night 2021, held on Friday, February 5th. Please visit seeyouathome.us and join the team today.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lonte and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Whoa, that's what I say when I see that Jim Harbaugh signed a 5-year extension at Michigan. Hans, can you effort to see what the contract is? I mean, I think he was making like $7 or $8 million. And again, I mean, Harbaugh's winning sometimes 8 or 9 games a year. I mean, that's pretty solid. It's just he can't beat Ohio State.
Yeah, outside of this year, well, their floor is 8 or 9 wins.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? And that's still pretty good. And when you're Michigan and you're drawing over 100,000 fans per game, I don't feel too bad for the program having to pay Jim Harbaugh all that money and yet not playing once in the college football playoff, not beating Ohio State once. And that's really what it's all about. If you're Michigan, you're wanting to beat Ohio State. You're wanting to play for a college championship, and they haven't done that yet with Jim Harbaugh. So we'll see. Maybe this is a little confidence from Michigan, from the athletic director.
5 years is a lot, though.
That's a long time.
Wonder what the buyout looks like. It's always important.
I wonder if they said, we'll keep you on for five, but you're going to keep that buyout low. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Hans is efforting that. It may not even be issued. So we don't, or not issued, but we may not know yet what the details are of that. All right. So I asked you yesterday, or 2 days ago, to snap a photo of my super sectional gym at Welsh Ryan, and you did.
I provided it for you.
I loved it.
What'd you think?
You know what? Since I've been there, which has been years ago, they have done a nice job of renovating that place. And if I have my memory correct, because I think I saw something on the Big Ten Network about this, but almost like their Ubbin Hall or their Ubbin basketball facility, they have the innards are really nice there, I think. Did you get to see them?
They're
like, in other words,
basketball, like practice facility.
Yeah,
stuff? I didn't know, but you walk by, it's very easy to see. They got the windows open of their very impressive football.
Oh my! Doesn't that look out on the lake?
Facility and weight room, yeah.
Mm. I think Northwestern spent some money there. It's just, you know, it's just not a very big arena, so I always give them crap about. It's a great setting for a super sectional game.
It is. I did the WCIA pregame, and I was like, it looks smaller with nobody in here, which is weird to say.
That is weird.
But you're like, oh, second level, there's three or four rows in the second level.
That's it?
But, it's nice. What they've done is they've made it, the seats and all that. They're no longer the looks of, like, the wooden bleachers.
Yeah, that's a good call.
What it used to be.
I'll give Hans credit. He's like, it kind of looks like Huff Hall, and it looks like Huff Hall renovated. It would almost be like going to Huff Hall and renovating and updating it to today's standards. It's just not very big. That's obvious. All right, Hans D., what did we find out about Jimmy Harbaugh, Jimmy Ballgame?
Harbaugh will make $20 million over 5 years, coming out to about $4 million annually.
Wow.
That's about half of what he made in 2020.
Whoa.
However, he will still be able to earn up to $8 million with incentives.
Okay.
And his buyout is not yet specified.
Okay. Thank you, Hans. I appreciate that. Yeah. Now we'll talk to you again at 5:30.
500K if you're up at halftime on Ohio State.
Every incentive is based towards the Buckeyes. You can just tell that is the case. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You, by the way, speaking of college football, had a chance to visit with Pat Fitzgerald.
I did, yes.
What did he say? Did he give out any indication about possibly moving on to the NFL, staying in college?
He was very stoic, the arms folded, and didn't give me a whole lot. My first question was, do you expect in-state recruiting to be any different?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And what'd he think?
Unclear.
Okay, that's fair.
I judged by the look on his face.
That never changed.
That it didn't change, but you could tell that he was a little more concerned. A little more concerned.
That was a great picture. Of course, if you don't know what we're talking about, Derek took a picture with the cutout. Or no, what do they call them?
Yeah,
cardboard cutout of Pat Fitzgerald, who was at the game to witness
Illinois.
He used
some heavy sunblock at that bowl game, though. Shade of gray.
Get some sun, Pat. All right, when we come back, sticking with football, Ryan Walters is the new defensive coordinator at Illinois under Brett Bielema. We'll hear from him next. Not live. He joined the press today. It's a drive.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LandsInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lands family. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
See the showroom top deal. Designer Shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
This is your year for impeccable flooring style. Flooring Surfaces brings fresh looks from around the world to Central Illinois. And right now, we're offering deep discounts on all the floors you want. You'll save big on Italian porcelain tile, beautiful hardwood floors, waterproof vinyl, soft and durable carpets, and fantastic backsplash mosaics. If it's in stock, it's on sale now. And with over 1 million square feet of flooring in stock, you'll find the right look to fit your style and budget. Combine excellent selection with free design assistance, free estimates, professional installation service, and financing options. It's easy to see why Flooring Surfaces has your floor covered. See us today at 401 East Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
My name is Dr. Andrew Zasada. I'm a new provider with OSF Healthcare in Savoy. Here to tell you that OSF has made it easy for you to come see myself or any other provider by offering video visits. Just call the office and schedule a video visit, and we'll be happy to talk to you and try to help you with your questions. If an office visit becomes necessary, we can certainly schedule that. But for those who feel that they cannot come in or feel that they're housebound, this is another way for you to connect with an OSF healthcare provider to make healthcare even more available to the community. We're happy to welcome into our OSF healthcare family of providers Dr. Marianne Fisher, who will be joining OSF healthcare at Union Square next to the Starbucks at the corner of Springfield and Mass. OSF Healthcare stands for faith-based healing. For all of your healthcare needs, please visit osfhealthcare.org.
PDR Automotive in Urbana prides themselves in offering you the very best in service. In fact, they're one of the select TechNet certified professional shops. Certified shops like PDR make all the difference in vehicle maintenance because the TechNet community is made up entirely of local family-owned shops. So you know you're getting reliable and personalized care that only a local shop like PDR can provide. PDR is proud to be a TechNet professional shop that you can depend on time and time again. When you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481.
Inside the train testing facility, our heating and cooling products are put through 16 weeks of extreme temperature fluctuations to simulate 5 years of wear and tear. 150 degrees one day, sub-zero temperatures the next. We test so it runs.
CU Trade Services for commercial and residential, working with highly trained technicians for plumbing, electrical, and HVAC. Get your furnace checkup now with details found at thecuservices.com, your local train dealer.
It's hard to stop a train.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lon Tay, Derek Piper, Hans D here as well. Here we're going to do a little who you got next hour. Also a little next question, NFL Wild Card Weekend Edition to get you ready for that. Today, Ryan Walters, new defensive coordinator for Brett Bielema and the Fighting Illini, was able to visit with the media. And, you know, this was a little surprising to me. Number one, the surprising thing was that Walters stayed on through Barry Odom, then changing to Eli Drinkwitz. You don't see that very often. And then 1 year into the Drinkwitz tenure, and maybe Walters saw the signs of, you know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to keep my job with Drinkwitz, but it did kind of surprise me that he just then flipped and came to another Power 5 program.
Yeah, because at the surface, you're thinking it's a lateral move, maybe at best.
Right.
I mean, obviously, Missouri's had more success than you here during the recent stretch, so you could even say, is it? I don't know if it's a step down.
Because you're probably money-wise, it's not.
Right, money-wise, you're going to the Big Ten. You're expecting things to be a lot better under Brett Bielema. But, yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, Missouri had had a top 20 defense, top 20 scoring defense. I know they didn't play well last year. But for him to leave, I think you get the surface, you wonder what made him want to go from Missouri to Illinois. But yeah, when you dig into some of the details or just read kind of the room, and when I say the room, I read Twitter.
Yeah, well, right.
It's like, oh, you know, they weren't forcing him out by any means, but they were okay with him leaving just because the idea of Drinkwitz bringing in his own guy.
And as he mentioned, here's what Ryan Walters said about the fit with Coach Bielma.
Like you said, after all that time at Missouri, I was there for 6 years. I really enjoyed my time there. Very thankful to not only Coach Drink, but also Coach Odom and Coach Pinkle for giving me the opportunity. My kids, that's all, Missouri is all they know right now. And we have enjoyed our time in Columbia. I have goals and aspirations as a coach in this profession. The thing that was attractive about this job was Coach Bielema, getting back into the Big Ten after spending, the last 3 years in the NFL and two of those being with the GOAT and Bill Belichick. And as a young coordinator, it's a chance to get to somewhere and continue to grow as a defensive mind. And so I've always thought that Illinois is a place where you can win, and with the right infrastructure, the right leadership. And I think Coach Bloom is definitely that. And so when I got the phone call that he was interested, I was excited about the opportunity to come interview. And then through the interview process, just getting to know him and seeing his vision for this place and seeing the community and seeing how much that support that this program and Coach Bielema has garnered in such a short amount of time, it was attractive. I mean, and it just felt like it was time. It was a new chapter, a new challenge, and one that I'm very excited and humbled and blessed to be a part of.
That is Ryan Walters, new defensive coordinator. One thing that they asked today is the type of defense. I know that's something that all of us as Illini fans want to know. What type of D will you run, Ryan?
Yeah, so, from a scheme standpoint, we don't know yet. We've got to get to know the players. And I just got on campus yesterday. I'm going to spend all afternoon on the phone and trying to get to know the guys currently on the roster. But I think one of the things that's attractive and exciting about this opportunity is you get to build something and we want to build Illinois' defense, and do what is best suited for the guys that we got in the locker room. Obviously there's things from a philosophy standpoint that you lean towards, and from an attitude standpoint that you lean towards, but this will be something that we build and I'm excited to get to work on building that.
I know a lot of people, when I looked at the room, now that you said that, being Twitter, a lot of people were like, boy, that's refreshing to hear. Not just, we're going to come in despite who we have and play a certain defense. It sounds like Ryan Walters will kind of take a look at what he has, Derek, and I like that.
Yeah, you want to be able to maximize the talent that you currently have. At the same time, you want to be able to establish a foundation of this is what our identity is on defense. This is what's worked for him in the past. But if Illinois has the personnel to do something a little bit differently or run a different variation of maybe what he wants to do, then that plays into it. And I like that adaptability because we have seen some coaches try to force their philosophy, their scheme. And now, again, it's kind of a balance. It's like, this is what we do. This is what we're going to do in the future. So we got to establish that early, even if it means take some losses, similar to Underwood's defense here when he first got at Illinois. But adaptability is good, especially for a team that should hope to be competitive next year.
I agree. And I also saw a quote today from Ryan Walters that said he likes to pressure the ball in terms of, I don't mean pressure the ball with defensive linemen. I mean cornerbacks and safeties. He wants to make it uncomfortable for wide receivers. And how many times, Derek, did we see a wide receiver not 3, not 5, sometimes 8 yards? There was not an Illini player or defender within 8 yards of a receiver when he would catch a pass. And that's kind of what you get in that zone mentality.
Right, yeah. And I like the philosophy. If you can do it,
sure,
with your corners, because it presents the opportunity to then get burnt for big plays.
Right.
But if you're able to pressure the line of scrimmage, press those receivers, it gives your rushers more time to get in the backfield. Maybe, I don't know, I haven't watched a whole lot of Missouri football here recently, but maybe he's sending linebackers, maybe you're blitzing, and that allows you to get home when and having corners there to defend the pass. But on that note, we would have liked to see, as much as he got beat last year, maybe Nate Hobbs would have been nice to be back at corner. We'll see Tony Adams and what that looks like too.
Well, and that's another thing Ryan said. He was going to reach out to those guys and talk to them about coming back. The big boy on the line, Roderick Perry, he would be huge for this Illinois team. Here's why I would love Nate Hobbs, Tony Adams to come back. And Marquez Beeson, I don't think you can really judge him because I'm not sure he was healthy or has been healthy after his injury in spring ball, essentially the very first year as a freshman. But a guy like Nate Hobbs would be a perfect example to me to see if Ryan Walters puts him in a different kind of defense, in a different philosophy, maybe more aggressive. Maybe Nate Hobbs is better than we think. Because Nate Hobbs was not very good last year.
At all.
And when you watch that, you kept hearing, you know, and you look at him and you think he's built like a corner that could maybe find a spot on an NFL team. But then all of a sudden he's given up 16-yard catches and he's not even close to being in the vicinity when the ball is caught. So maybe that would be one thing that would show me that, you know what, maybe a different philosophy would have done so much better for these guys. That Nate Hobbs could be a perfect example of that.
Yeah, it's worth the wonder.
Right, exactly.
And, I mean, he's played better football than he did last year. I mean, it's not like this guy has been just hyped about coming out of St. Louis and he never produced here at Illinois. He showed some good flashes, especially as an underclassman last year. He just did not play good football, mm-mm, got beat. Now he's... he's declared for the NFL draft, so I wonder if he signed an agent. Mm. If he hasn't done that, then I think he could come back.
Maybe he's wanting to find out what they're saying. Like, you know, a lot of times they'll be like, look, I mean, normally as a senior, you got to go, but since you can go back, we would advise you this.
Right. I think the assumption is those that have made it clear, like, I'm declaring for the draft. Now, maybe they haven't signed, but that they are... have shut the door on coming back.
That's fair.
Now, for him, I look at what he put on film last year, and I'm like, are you sure you want to go to the NFL?
Agree. I totally
right now,
agree. I totally agree. Last one from Ryan Walters, new defensive coordinator at Illinois, kind of on how all of this came together with he and Coach Bielma.
You know, Tony Peterson was at Missouri a couple years ago, Barry's last year as an analyst. And I always respected sort of his viewpoint and on ball and his football IQ and what he's done in his career. And then, you know, so I got a phone call from Tony to see if I'd be interested, and I said absolutely. And you know, I got a phone call from Brett, and we got on a plane and interviewed, and then, you know, a couple of days went by, and I got the call that it would work out, and I jumped at the opportunity.
That is Ryan Walters, new defensive coordinator for the University of Illinois football team. One thing that's on the TV right now that I wanted to make mention, Tommy Lasorda passed away today at the age of 93. Tommy Lasorda was one heck of a manager, of course, led the Dodgers to the World Series title in 1988 with Oral Hershiser. The one thing that I'll always, of course, understand about Lasorda is as fiery as he was. He was the life of the party wherever. And the one thing personally that I remember, Derek, when I was probably about 14 years old, maybe a little bit younger, Dad used to take us after Cardinals baseball games down 6th Street to Charlie Gito's. It's an Italian restaurant there in St. Louis downtown. And there was one night we were in there eating after the game. Well, Charlie Gito and Tommy Lasorda were very good friends. And Tommy Lasorda would come in every night, I guess, after games when he was in St. Louis playing. And the night he walked in, he had a box of like 12 baseballs signed by all the Dodgers, Steve Garvey, Ron Say, all of those guys. And he came up to our table and handed my brother and I a baseball of all the signed Dodgers. Now, at my age now, I would be so excited about that. Back then, I'm like, I don't want this. I didn't say that, obviously.
Throw it back.
But it was really cool because I remember Dad sitting there and visiting with Tommy Lasorda for a little bit. And I don't know, he was just a really passionate guy. And I know...
man of the people.
Yeah, he totally was. Totally was. He was a great guy, and he truly loved baseball. And Mike Piazza was... he was the godfather to Mike Piazza. And, of course, they drafted Mike Piazza with, like, the last pick. in the draft, and then Mike Piazza goes on to be, is he a Hall of Famer?
He's got to be.
I mean, is that unreal? It was the last round of the MLB draft, and I got to go. We'll talk about it next hour, but he literally just threw a bone at Mike Piazza and said, I will take you. You're my godson.
2016 Hall of Fame.
Unbelievable. Back with a little NFL, The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.